And welcome in to the first 2017 edition of the B Squared Podcast. Along with Brian Beto, I'm Jordan Burnfield. We record tonight on March 9th, 2017. And yes, the Cubs still won the World Series and they are still champions. And so, Beto, first of all, it's great to be back because we are doing our spring training podcast. And this year, I have to tell you, I have no angst. I don't even care about these games. Not that I'm really invested on a normal year, but I'm still basking in World Series glow, and I probably will be until October.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I look back and I was just kind of reminiscing. I remember when we sort of revived this podcast, and I believe we released our first episode of 2016 on opening day.
Yeah.
2016, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm thinking about what's going on since then, and the Bears still stink. The Bulls still stink.
The Bears are awful. Hey, no more Cuddy.
No more Cuddy. That's the one big change. But the Cubs actually did it. And we're no longer talking about could this be the year that they finally do it? Now it's just we're down to baseball and talking about this specific team still basking in that World Series glow. And like I said, we were talking before the podcast, as bad as the Bears and Bulls are, it's like, you know what? It doesn't matter that much because the Cubs won it all. And I'm still living off that high, but I'm with you on the whole spring training thing. I never really cared much in general, but now it just doesn't matter to me. The only thing that matters to me is that we stay healthy. We get to St. Louis on April 2nd, and everyone that's supposed to be in the starting lineup in the rotation is, and it's a win.
Yeah, that is exactly what it needs to be. I agree with you. All it matters is that the Cubs are healthy. And it's funny because now that they won, I feel, and I might be wrong, you tell me, don't you feel like the coverage has been amplified even more? Like, it seems as though, it always seemed to me that the Cubs would, you know, until they would win, the coverage would always be insane. Then they would win and there'd be a billion stories about them winning because it's a historic moment in sports. And then it would relax a little bit. But instead, I feel like now we're breaking down every swing Jason Hayward takes in spring training and debating whether he's going to hit 260 or 220 or 350 or hit 400 home runs this year. I don't know. It feels like everything has been more scrutinized this spring training among Cubs media and fans. And I'm just sitting here like with the you know, proverbial coconut drink in my hand and my feet up on the beach chair. I don't care what happens as long as they're healthy.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And it's a product of a few things, obviously winning and the star power that they return. And now can they repeat? But again, it does sort of go back to what else is going on in the city sports wise. You know, the Bears haven't been very good. The Bulls stink. Everyone's just spoiled and assume the Blackhawks are going to win now. So it's
right. Wait, they didn't win yet?
Yeah, believe it or not. So it's a situation where you bring in all those different factors and just kind of a downtime February usually is. Now we're early on into March. Maybe people will forget about the second half of spring training with March Madness starting soon. But I'm with you. Like I used to be so religious in checking the box scores, even of the spring training games. And now I follow on Twitter. I kind of see the important stuff. Like I saw Rizzo had his first home run the other day. And I saw Eloy Jimenez hit a ball like just 120 miles an hour, jokingly, off the wall today. But I remember I used to really enjoy when the prospects got into these big league games because that was what we had to look forward to. And this is our chance to see them in the Cubs uniform and what they can do on TV or in big league games. But now none of that matters. I'm just ready to get rocking and rolling come April.
How much stock do you even put into spring training games? Because I feel that for any of the players that are guaranteed a roster spot, it's meaningless. The only guys that I think spring training actually matter for are guys like, you know, Munenori, Kawasaki having a good spring could maybe get him a few more at-bats if they needed him at some point during the season. Or, you know, one of these bullpen arms potentially being able to come up. Or like a Jamer Candelario. I feel like if he has a really good spring, maybe he either makes the team as the last guy or he comes up and he can be used because they have more confidence in him. Aside from a couple of guys like that, I mean, it doesn't matter what Wilson Contreras does in the spring. I honestly don't care if he goes 0 for 50 in spring training. It means nothing. Chris Bryant could not get one hit in spring training. It wouldn't make a difference to me. So I just feel like you said, it's about being healthy, but do you put any stock into what the regulars do?
No, not at all. I really don't care. I have no idea who's been even good so far this spring, and maybe I should pay a little bit more attention. It's all about, you know, getting in your routine, getting healthy for the pitchers, you know, building up their arm strength.
Are you saying that you weren't locked into Cubs against Team Italy?
I believe it or not, I was not. You know what's funny about that? I remember seeing a tweet that says John Andreoli gets an RBI single and that opens up a 5-1 lead. And I remember thinking, oh, the Cubs are beating Team Italy 5-1 today. I didn't realize that John Andreoli is actually on Team Italy. So, and I hadn't then come to my conclusion. I remember seeing something like that, and it's kind of funny how it works out. But again, it's about building up sort of that arm strength and for the starters and getting into routines. But I was telling a buddy, I'm like, dude, if they only want to throw Wade Davis in bullpens or Hector Rondon and Pedro Strop in side sessions, that's fine. They know how to pitch in big league games. I just want to make sure their arms are ready to rock, ready to roll and as they get ready for the season.
Yeah, and it's about preservation because, let's face it, the Cubs played longer into a season than they ever have last year. So it's just about keeping these guys fresh and ready to go. So, okay, I don't know about you, and I know you are more emotionally invested in what happens to the Bulls than I am. So, admittedly, I know that there have been some downs for you since the Cubs won the World Series, but I feel like I am just floating on the cloud of sports life. I am just happy. I don't get angry about, so like yesterday, I sat and watched Syracuse lose in the ACC tournament, and normally I'd be really upset that they lost because every game that they play is the exact same thing. You can just pick any year, and it's basically the exact same team, the exact same problems. And I'm sitting there watching this, and they lose, and I really didn't get that mad. I was mad for like 5 minutes, and then I was like, the Cubs won the World Series. I feel like I have completely changed as a sports fan. Now, maybe I'm still in like the Peter Gibbons religious experience phase, and when the Cubs act, it's the best. Before Dr. Swanson, I mean, listen, before Dr. Swanson keeled over, he was in complete relaxation. So I feel like I'm there, and it might change if the Cubs have a little losing streak during the regular season. I don't know, but I feel like I'm going to be there for a long time. I don't know about you, but I feel like it's completely changed me.
Yeah, it hasn't worn off at all, and I'm like that. And you're right. I'm invested in the Bulls and the Bears. Bradley basketball, who had a rough season, but they're trending up. So it was hard to get mad about that.
And I think they are trending up. I like your Bradley team.
I'm really excited about the future there. But the Bulls are a complete disaster, a bottom four organization in the NBA, complete disaster. But like, if this was 4 or 5 years ago with this Bulls team, I would just be beside myself every single night. But the Cubs saved me from Bulls misery. And I am a Cubs guy first at heart, but the Bulls are the notch below them. And I just thank God for what we were able to witness and experience on November 2nd, 2016, because I don't know what I would do myself without it. But I am at the point now, it's like, okay, I've experienced my sports peak. I'm totally comfortable with it. Now let's get back to baseball and see if they can pull it off 2 years in a row.
Let me ask you this. You have now mentioned the date a couple of times in this podcast, which I appreciate, November 2nd, 2016. I certainly didn't forget it, but I'm glad that you brought it up. I feel like for the rest of my life, November 2nd is going to be like, I'm going to treat it like an anniversary. You know, I want to have like a nice dinner that night. I want to open a bottle of wine. I want to put the game back on and just bask in the glow of them winning. Maybe not the whole game, just like the 10th inning.
No, the whole game.
The whole game? I don't know if I can live through Rajay Davis again, but I have seen that clip now several times, and it gets easier and easier, but I still get a little bit of a visceral reaction when I see that ball go out. But I feel like now November 2nd is a holiday in my life.
Yep. No, I agree. And it's up there. Like I look at my wedding anniversary, August 9th, 2013. My daughter was born April 10th, 2016. But after that, there's not too many more important dates than, and I'm kind of a weirdo with remembering stuff. Like I remember like the day I remember graduated high school and college and weird
wow.
stuff. Like
that. You are the numbers guy.
I am the numbers guy, but I will say that this one specifically, like it'll be etched into my brain forever. No doubt about that.
It's honestly, it's as great as I always expected it to be or thought it would be. And it's even exceeded that. It really, every time I see like a world champion Cubs, anything, I just smile. I'm just happy about it. And I feel like as a sports fan, I'm no longer expecting horrible things to happen. I mean, like I think that my expectations now are fairly reasonable based on the team. Like I don't expect the Bulls to win when I'm watching because they're just a very average team. So I don't get mm-hmm. mad when they lose the Pistons because they probably will lose to the Pistons more because they're not very good, right? And like when the Blackhawks win, I expect them to win. So it's good to see. And I do think that they're going to be in the run for the cup, obviously, again, and that's all good. And the college basketball teams I enjoy, I still get excited. It's not like I've lost all excitement for sports. I feel like the negative parts have been taken away because the Cubs are like the perfect antidote for everything. So it's a good life. And what they did was they changed our lives. They really did.
Mm-hmm. They did, and it's remarkable how it has sort of a ripple effect on any other sports fandom and anything else. But I totally agree, and I'm looking forward to just being competitive. I know we've talked a lot about, and it's sort of a cliche that you know the sustainable winning, but that's the position they put themselves in, and the parallels they've drawn between what they did last year and the last few years and what the Blackhawks did at the beginning of their sort of dynasty type run, call it whatever you will. It's pretty eerie how similar some of those are. So in the Blackhawks are in the mix every year, and barring in some unforeseen circumstances, you got to think the Cubs are going to be in the mix. Like we've seen from the Cardinals throughout the duration of our lifetimes, and the Cubs sort of taking over the role like the Blackhawks did with their rival, the Detroit Red Wings at the time.
Yeah, I think now the Cubs are positioned to be in a great spot for a long time, like you said. But what I wonder now is, I think that there's going to be different iterations of this thing, sort of like with the Blackhawks too. I mean, the Blackhawks have obviously, through the three Stanley Cup wins and the winning seasons in between, have had Taves, Kane, Hossa, Keith, Seabrook, those five guys, and Jalmerson too, I guess, sixth. And then the other parts have been interchangeable for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Patrick Sharp was really important to those three Stanley Cup wins, but he's gone, and if they continue to win, they're going to do it without him. There's other guys like Dave Boland and Chris Versteeg and other guys that have played roles. Corey Crawford,
Dustin
obviously.
Dustin Byfuglien, don't forget Big Buff.
Right, yeah. I mean, Corey Crawford has been in net for two of them. And, you know, but I think that it's that certain core. The same thing will be true with the Cubs because mm-hmm. you've got Rizzo, Bryant, probably Schwarber, assuming that he stays healthy now, Russell, you know, this kind of group here, Contreras, and I guess Hayward because of the contract. But now what I wonder is what pitchers are going to be added around this thing? Because I heard Theo Epstein talking to Cap on the radio a couple of days ago on ESPN 1000, and he was talking about how, again, reinforcing what he's been saying from day one, which is that it's much easier to evaluate hitting as you look long-term because you know mm-hmm. what they're going to be. It's harder with the pitchers. They like some of the pitchers they have in their system, but they just, you never know how it's going to work out. And he said, you look back at the 15 Mets, their pitching just came together. And it came together in a way that got them to the World Series. Of course, they didn't win, but they were there. And it just came together. But he says, you don't see that often. Okay, fine. So then as we apply that to the current Cubs, Arrieta is going to be a free agent. I don't think he's going to be back after this season. Lackey's probably going to retire after this year. So you have Lester and you have Hendricks moving forward, but the Cubs are going to have to add some significant pitching. And while I think Mike Montgomery might be a piece, I don't know that he's definitely a member of this rotation this year all year, let alone next year. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how the waves of pitching come through to complement this team of really young, great offensive players.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I feel like, you know, people had this same question 3 years ago, even as recent as almost 2 years ago, where we were wondering, like, we knew we had the prospects on the hitting side and figured that at least a bulk of them would work out where they'd be able to put together a nice young core of position players. But once you're the pitching, and then look what happened, you know, they go out and they sign Lester and Jake Arrieta finally comes into his own. They get Kyle Hendricks as a surprise. They always thought maybe he was a back end of the rotation guy, but clearly has proven that he may be more than that, even in the long term. And I think I just trust them enough to know that it's good. They're going to figure it out. And the difference, major difference to me about the Cubs and the Blackhawks and the core and interchangeable pieces that you mentioned, there's no cap.
Right.
In baseball.
Right. And they don't have to get rid of anybody.
They're not going to be forced to trade anyone because of cap stipulations. And you got to think about the revenue upcoming with a potential TV deal and all the stadium stuff that's going on too. And at Wrigley. So, there'll be different pieces pitching wise. They didn't do a ton in the offseason to address it, but they do have some nice chips. Not as many as they did maybe a couple of years ago or to get Chapman, but they have some pieces in the minor leagues and young at the major league level that they could always move to acquire more pitching, and there'll be better free agency coming up too. So not worried about that in the long term, but you're right. There'll be some different guys in that role than we're seeing right now going into this season.
And I think it's going to be fascinating to see. I don't know how I feel yet about the Schwarber in the leadoff spot thing. And I know that it's often like a sports radio topic to dissect the lineup and pick it apart. And I'm not usually one of those guys. I understand the sort of sabermetric or new wave argument about why you'd put Schwarber in the leadoff spot. The idea being obviously that if you argue that Bryant, Rizzo, and Schwarber are your three best hitters, then the three of them will get more plate appearances than anybody else over the course of a year, which means that the Cubs will have the best chance to score runs because your three best guys are going to be at the plate so often. Okay, if we take that out, the one concern I have is that I think they're going to miss Dexter Fowler, not only from off the field and what he meant in that clubhouse standpoint. He's a great guy. You know the players love him. I love him. I mean, I'm biased. I love the guy, and I think you do too. So it's going to be weird to see him in that awful Cardinal uniform. But I also think that Schwarber, you know, he is such a good hitter that I think he can adapt to whatever spot they put him in. He's got a great eye, so he'll get on base. He'll be that, you know, 400 on base guy, I would think. That can be viable at the top of the lineup. But for a guy that's coming off a knee surgery, you know, you're asking him potentially to do some unique things running the bases, that you know, obviously he's going to have to do that, but in the leadoff spot, it's a little bit different. And, you know, I kind of would like to have him up at the plate with more opportunities with two or three guys on base. I know it's only once a game that you lead off, but you are talking about, you know, once a game where the most he can do offensively is hit a solo home run. So do I think that that's something that they're going to keep all year? No, but I just think that the idea of it doesn't excite me as much as other ideas might.
Yeah, and Fowler's gone. That one hurts, obviously, because you're right. They don't have this necessarily natural leadoff hitter. What that means now might feel different than what it was a few years ago. When you heard the term natural leadoff hitter, you thought, oh, fast guy can, you know, steal bases and hit for an high average and things like that, set the table. And the definition of that term has changed. And even so, you're right, Schwarber might not be the ideal guy. I think that, like you said, it's kind of a narrative, a topic people like to get on, and it might not be a long-term solution, but given where this team is right now, it could make the most sense, especially if you see Zobrist get more days off this year than he did last year, because he could be a potential fit up there. Honestly, ideally, in my opinion, the ideal situation for the Cubs leadoff spot in a few weeks or a couple months or whatever the case may be is that Jason Hayward just figures out how to hit this year, and they move him into the leadoff spot, because I feel like he was kind of the guy that could have been leading off before the Cubs had the surprise move in bringing back Fowler last year. And
yeah,
he's a guy that can get on base. And if he's hitting even 250, 260, and he's got a 350 on base, he's an excellent base runner. He's still got decent speed. He's got some, you know, at times has had some, you know, gap power and things like that. I think he's your ideal leadoff hitter if he can ever figure it out. But I just don't think they're going to put that sort of pressure on him.
Yeah.
And they don't expect it on him yet. But I think if he turns out and kind of turns the corner, that maybe they do decide to put him there and move Schwarber down. But
that's
in the
interesting.
Meantime,
what about Zobi-Wan Kenobi? What do you think about Ben Zobrist in the leadoff spot?
Yeah, and I think that's an area they'll try too, and they'll experiment. They just have a luxury of problems right now, but you know, if he is getting some more days off here and there, maybe they just want to get Schwarber comfortable in that spot, see how it works, and as far as the rest of the lineup is concerned. But I'm with you. I think Zobrist makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure you'll see him there from time to time, especially maybe with lefties on the mound. Have Zobrist from the right side leading off, you know, getting and moving Schwarber back in the lineup a little bit, or maybe they take Schwarber out for the day. So it'll be interesting to see, but it'll be good to see Kyle getting a lot of plate appearances, especially if he's in that that leadoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it really matters ultimately, because the Cubs used a very unconventional lineup last year to win the World Series with Bryant batting second and Rizzo batting third. So, I would anticipate that they're probably going to bat the pitcher eighth if they're going to have Schwarber batting leadoff, because that would at least give a nine-hitter potential to get on base in front of Schwarber more often than not. I don't think it really matters, to be honest with you. I just find it a little bit odd, and I know that the Cubs are always forward-thinking, and I trust the organization with what they're doing, so I'm not worked up about it, but I think it's a little weird. That's all. I mean,
yeah,
it's
a fun discussion to have, right? Either way.
Yeah, it's just because, to me, I think you're right. I think that originally they wanted Jason Hayward to kind of fill that role if Fowler didn't come back, but I don't think that's probably going to happen unless Hayward has a great year, right? Let's say he has a great year, and then next year you'd go in and say, we want Jay Hay leading off. Like, if the confidence is completely restored and this new swing is working for him really well and everything's rolling for him, then yeah, I could see that. But, you know, I do think that the lineup construction only matters in that it puts a little more pressure again on guys like Zobrist, like Russell, like Contreras, to drive in runs at sort of the bottom, if you will, of that lineup, because more often than not, you're going to have elite hitters like Bryant and Rizzo and Zobrist on base when they're at the plate. So listen, Russell was great last year. He almost drove in 100 runs, but you need that development to continue for a young hitter for that to remain viable.
Yeah, I totally agree. And here's the thing, is that even though the lineup is different in theory because of Fowler being gone, but you didn't have Schwarber for all of last season. So you had a little more power, whether it be at the top of the order or the middle of the order. You get Wilson Contreras, who in theory is going to give you more production offensively throughout the course of an entire season than when he came up in June or late June or whatever that was. So you have him. You have the natural progression of Addison Russell that you mentioned. You got to think that you would get somewhat similar numbers from guys like Rizzo and Bryant. So there might be areas, including the power department, that the Cubs actually have a leg up on last year's lineup. It's just going to be a different dynamic than what we're used to without Fowler there and figuring out who's there at the top this year.
All right, before we sign out of this podcast, is there any team in the division that you worry about? Because I don't want to sound like one of these Homer Cub fans. It's like, oh, the division's locked up. But I don't feel like the Pirates and the Cardinals, I think that they're both going to be decent again, but I still feel like the Cubs are pretty far ahead of both of them.
Yeah, I think it's actually a deep division. I outside of the Reds, I think everyone's going to be competitive. I actually think the Brewers are going to be a little bit better than
I agree.
What some of their projections are. They just got to figure out some way to eat innings at the rotation and keep teams in games.
According
to
the standings
offense.
Here, they've won 6 straight Cactus League games. Brian Beto, watch out for those Brew Crew.
Well, there's your team. There's your 2017 NL Central champs. But I think they're going to steal some. I don't think they're in the mix, and maybe I'm wrong right now from like a contention standpoint, but I think they'll steal some wins from the top of the division. And I actually, and this is not me being a Cardinal basher, I don't think they're that good, and maybe I'm wrong, but
I can never say that they're out of it no matter what.
I totally agree, and I think they'll be in the mix from maybe a wild card spot. I don't see the 90-plus wins that some people are seeing. And I know there's some projections have them in the mid-80s, and I think that's about right. I actually think Pittsburgh is going to have a bounce-back year. I think we saw such a bad first half from McCutchen. They had some injuries. I know their bullpen's a huge question mark.
Yes.
But they'll have Jameson Taillon and maybe Tyler Glasnow. And they have some young, nice arms there, and if they can get that outfield to hit the way that they know it can, I think they're going to be a decent team. So I expect a bounce back year, but from a divisional winning standpoint, it would be just a huge shock to me if any team is battling the Cubs for the division in the last week of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Cubs are going to take away this division again. And, you know, I just think that right now the Pirates, I agree. The Pirates will probably be improved. I think they're going to be better, but I don't think they're as strong as the Cubs really in any of the facets of the game. And I think that the Cardinals, I agree. I don't know how, but somehow they're going to win 85 to 90 games because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what they have. I mean, last year was the perfect example, right? 2 years ago, they couldn't hit a home run. They were this great run prevention team. Last year, they hit a ton of home runs and couldn't field, but
they
somehow
couldn't get anyone out either.
Right, but somehow we're in the playoff race all the way to the end. It was just like, what? I don't understand them. They just win. So I'm sure that they'll be in it, but I think it's going to be another special year from the Cubs. But that is our spring training podcast. We will be back right before the season to preview what we think is going to happen, not only in the Cubs division, but throughout baseball, and make our predictions for the year. But it's good to be talking Cubs baseball again, Brian Beto.
It's great. It's great. I can't wait. I cannot believe. I feel like we say this every year, but I really, because the Cubs played until November, I really cannot believe that the season's just a few short weeks away.
Yeah. So our Facebook page, tell people how they find it.
Oh, my God. I can't even find it right now. It's been so long. You search for the P Squared Show on Facebook, and we'll post the link to the podcast. We try to do that, unless I forget, every time we post one of these bad boys.
Yes, and you can follow us on Twitter. He's at Brian Beto. I'm at Jordan Burnfield. It's pretty easy because we're not creative. And we will also post the link to our podcast both on Podomatic, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes. We hope that you do, because that would make us happy. And if you want to make us really happy, you could even write a little review on iTunes and tell us that you think that we're at least tolerable.
Or that we suck, so at least we get some publicity, right?
Or that we suck, that's fine, but at least there's something, so that would be good. So for Brian Beto, I'm Jordan Burnfield. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you next time. Continue to bask in World Series championship glow.